Welcome everybody. Today is Christmas Eve and the final video for this Advent series.
So today is a really unique day. First of all, it's the last time you'll see us for a bit, so that's unique. But more importantly, we're on a special day today. Mm-hmm. It's like a pregnant day of hope. So when I think about Christmas Eve today, this is what I think about: waking up before the dawn. Which doesn't happen very often for me, you know, in the summer, except sometimes when I used to catch flights, getting out early in the morning, driving to the airport, getting on that plane in darkness in northern Canada here. And when you take off, you see that sunrise on the horizon, and all of a sudden you see the whole landscape starting to be lit up, and the clouds taking on different colors, and everything is fresh. Everything is new. Everything is a reset from the day before. It's a new beginning. And so here we find ourselves on Christmas Eve, just in the darkness right before the dawn. And it's a pregnant darkness. This day is pregnant with hope. Because what is our hope? Just over the horizon, what do we anticipate? The birth of our Savior, by which we are free from sin, by which we are invited into eternal life, by which our life takes on an eternal meaning and purpose and gives a whole new dimension to life. This night is pregnant with hope that we could be liberated from the bondage of sin, that the demons will lose their grip in our life, that our broken hearts are healed and mended from the consequences of sin. All our hope rests in Jesus Christ. And if we look out onto the horizon, we can just see the peaking of the sun coming up. The source of our hope is on the horizon, the birth of Jesus Christ. So friends, this day is pregnant with hope.
She was always recollected, and that is how we must learn to be. We, whose thoughts are so dissipated and so distracted by things of little importance, only one thing is really important in our lives, Jesus, and everything that refers to him. So this whole chapter is all about Our Lady and how she's preparing for the birth of Jesus, and just that anticipation that she has to meet this beautiful baby. And, you know, it reminded me of my anticipation that I experience when I'm waiting for a baby to arrive. And yeah, and that's definitely the most anticipation I will have ever experienced in my life. But I should have that similar kind of experience when I'm waiting for Jesus. And I love how this reading just points to how it's only Jesus that matters in all things. That our mind, even though it's like kind of a bit of a monkey brain, you know, we've all got our to-do lists. We've got so much going on. You know, I put something in the microwave to warm up and I forget about it completely because I'm just so distracted by everything around me. But yet, the only thing that matters is Christ. That's all. It's all that matters. Mary is always at prayer because she does everything with reference to her son. When she talks to Jesus, she prays. For prayer is to talk to God. She prays each time she looks at him. That is prayer too, to look with faith at Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, truly present in the tabernacle. She prays when she asks him for something, or whenever she smiles at him so often, or when she thinks about him. Her life was determined by Jesus, and her thoughts were set permanently on him. I just think this is so important, and it's also good to have reminders in our home. Physical reminders, you know, crucifixes, images that remind us of the sacred, of the holy, of Christ. And I think that's one thing that I absolutely love about just Advent time. We have so many additional reminders.
Tell me, what are some,
you know, like
reminders?
Nativity scenes. Yes. I have this beautiful candle that I keep lit, that I've kept lit since the first Sunday of Advent. It's not a real candle. It's an electric candle, just so you know. And I've kept it lit the whole time, so that every morning when I come into the kitchen, I see that candle, and it reminds me that I'm waiting. I'm waiting for something. Or even just the crucifix. You know, we've done many of these series, and I've learned so much just from the different readings, whether they've been from In Conversations with God by Father Fernandez, or in the previous years we did St. Alphonsus Liguori. And, you know, I remember them talking about just, you know, pondering the crucifix and just looking at it, like how that in itself can transform us.
So right when you walk into our home, the first thing that you see on the right-hand side is a big crucifix, not a little crucifix. So there's many things within our home that puts our minds on God. And this is good. Father Fernandez is saying every time Mary thought about Jesus, that was prayer. That's true for Mary. It's true for us. Mm-hmm. Every time we put our mind upon Jesus, that is prayer. Mm-hmm. So you can have these symbols throughout your home. And every time you look, you're praying because Jesus crucified. You think of him. Mm-hmm. So these are wonderful reminders within the home and aids to help us pray constantly.
Mm-hmm. You know, probably from like just an outsider's view, our house probably looks a little fanatical. But you know what? To me, it's beautiful. Yeah. And I hope that people who come in feel welcomed and loved. Another thing that we've done in the last year is we have a water font right at our entry. And often when our guests are leaving, I say, oh, I have one more gift for you. And I pass around the water font and I get them all to bless themselves. Because it's just so important. We need to really utilize all these things that the church has given us to prepare us to go out into the world. Never in our lives will we meet another who listens with as much interest or as much attention as Jesus. Nobody has ever taken our words as seriously as he has. He looks at us. He pays attention to us. He listens to us with the greatest interest when we pray. I feel like this kind of moves me a little bit because I feel like how often do I just sort of spout off my prayers? Like I think even last night when we pray our daily rosary as a family, sometimes it's just like, Hail Mary, full of grace. Like we're just trying to get through it because the kids are kind of just all going a little crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's not the most meditative situation. But at the same time, I know that God will reward us for our faithfulness. I feel though that I can do better in those moments. Even though it is crazy around me, I can still have an interior peace. You know, even though it's crazy around me, I can still have an interior peace. And it is difficult, but it requires a lot of practice, and I think it's definitely possible. I love even, like, especially when we pray the rosary, we have a beautiful statue of Our Lady of Fatima. And I make a point every time that it's my turn to lead the decade that I look up at that statue and I just look at her with love and just think, okay, Mary, you are my mother. I love you. And I will continue to pray that way. Even though like the vast majority of the rosary is very chaotic in that moment, at least I'm taking a split second just to look at her beautiful face and to say, I love you.
So we are Christmas Eve. And with Christmas Eve, sometimes there comes a lot of anxiety for some people. There's a lot of maybe family tensions. Oh, you got to visit the relatives or the in-laws or things are not perfect. You look at the Christmas card. Everything is perfect there. You look at the nativity, everything seems perfect there, but you look into your family, things don't seem that perfect. I think this quote is a great reminder that Jesus is attentive to our heart. Mm-hmm. So if you're having angst today, you're worried, you're insecure, you're fearful about certain meetings, you're not sure how things are going to go, remember Jesus is 100% attentive to your needs today. So give them to him. Let him calm your heart. Let him come to you with the peace that Christmas promises. But he's attentive to you.
Isn't that so beautiful? That he's attentive to us. He cares that much for us. And I just think, oh Lord, I wish I could be that attentive to him. It's like, you know, if someone was sitting directly across from you, you would want to give them your attention. Well, why don't I do that with Christ every time I enter into prayer with him? You know, when I go to the Mass, instead of allowing my mind to go into who knows where. And in my meditation, a fire shall flame out. That is why you go to pray, to become a bonfire, a living flame, giving heat and light. So when you are not able to go on, when you feel that your fire is dying out, if you cannot throw on it sweet-smelling logs, throw on the branches and twigs of short vocal prayers and ejaculations to keep the bonfire burning. And you will not have wasted your time. I love this because I feel like that's often how I have to pray now. Like I do try to wake up early to spend a few moments, you know, reading the daily readings and entering into a little bit of mental prayer. But I got to tell you, like the more responsibility that I have, I find it more and more difficult to get that time. And so these little ejaculatory prayers where I'm just going about my day. One that I've just really started saying quite frequently is one of the prayers that Our Lady of Fatima taught the little children. And it goes like this. I actually only memorized the first line. That's all I've got so far. But it's enough to get me through. And it says, "Oh Jesus, I do this out of love for thee." That is it.
That's a good one.
"Oh Jesus, I do this out of love for thee." When I'm feeling frustrated, or when I'm really feeling like I'm being pulled in so many directions, or if I'm doing something even mundane, "Oh Jesus, I do this out of love for thee."
And if I'll remind you of yesterday's video, I know you weren't part of it, but I talked about one of those ejaculatory prayers that I say in the morning, "Jesus, I gladly give my life to you today."
You can say that all day. "Oh Jesus, I gladly give my life to you today." Or even like, "For the sake of his sorrowful passion," or even, "Jesus, I trust in you," or "Come Holy Spirit." There's so many little prayers that we can say just to help us.
So this is the end, friends, of this beautiful journey that you've been on with us. We really thank you for your time. It's a privilege for us to be able to serve you. I often tell Janelle and other people when we meet them, I can't believe people watch. I can't, because we just turn on the lights and the cameras in our basement. And it's a humbling thing to be able to serve people this way. So we wish to say thank you so much for your presence to us. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you to our supporters who allow us to be able to do this full time. It allows me during Christmas. Videos could take 8, sometimes 10 hours to get right, to be able to bring to you. All this to say thank you to everyone who supports us, who prays for us, and who watches. It's a real gift to us to be able to serve you. It really is a gift to us. So thank you, friends, and have a Merry Christmas.